Welcome to this week's edition of Bob Pittman's Legal Line. And yes, I am Bob Pittman. We try each week to demystify the law, translate the legalese, and hopefully point you in the right direction with regard to your legal questions. Of course, I wouldn't be an attorney if I didn't have a disclaimer or limitation of damage clause attached to the program. You have to get up kind of close to see it, but if you do, you'll see that damages resulting from advice given on this program are strictly limited to what you paid for the advice. Wouldn't you know it? Leave it to the attorneys to come up with this stuff. Hey, you can email your questions during the week at to jeff@bobpittman.com. That's with two T's, jeff@bobpittman.com. You know, questions, ideas for topics, maybe guests you'd like to hear, and we'll do our best to get them on the program. We broadcast each and every Wednesday, of course, Wednesday afternoon, 3 p.m. Pacific time. Looking forward to seeing you each and every week at bobpittman.com. Of course, check out the Bobcasts at bobpittman.com. We keep an archive so you can go back and listen to past programs in case you miss one, or if you want to check in on one that maybe you want to hear a second time. You just never know. Plan to give us a call during the program at 253-471-9694. That's 253-471-9694 during the program each and every Wednesday, 3 p.m. Pacific time. Yeah, I think we had a couple of questions that were emailed in this week. Maybe we can check in with Diane and see just what came in.
Yes, we had a couple of questions. This is a good one. Jackie wants to know about community property agreements. What do they do, and should she and her husband, also named Jackie, have one?
Well, not, also, so they're both named Jackie.
Yeah.
This is too good. Jackie and Jackie. I like that. You know, I remember, it makes me think of Jackie Cooper.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if anybody remembers Jackie Cooper. Listeners, I don't know. Hard to say, huh? Who's a Jackie? Let's see, Jackie, who would be a Jackie for a female star? I'm trying to think. We got Jackie Cooper on the male side.
I don't know about Jackie stars, but I know Jackie. I know Jackie people.
I mean, I do too, but I don't
want to say her name.
All right, anyway, we could get sidetracked on names. And by the way, we'll have to do a program down the road on changing your name. We'll do that for sure. I knew I could tie it in. No, community property agreements, very misunderstood documents. In Washington State, when someone is married, and of course now we have our registered domestic partnerships, and we're going to do a segment for sure on registered domestic partnerships down the road. We'll get maybe a guest expert in on that, just what it all means and what you can do, what you can't do. But with a community property agreement, even though, let's take a husband and wife, even though when you're married, everything that you acquire during marriage is presumptively community property. So earnings, for instance, if you're married, your earnings are almost always going to be community property. I'd say always, but you know, lawyers are always hedging their bets just a little bit. I suppose we could maybe construct some scenario, but it would be tough on wages. But, you know, if you have separate property, then the separate property generating income, let's say it's a rental house from before you were married, well, that rental house will generate separate property income, although you can then take that income and commingle it with your other assets, your community assets, and turn it into community property. So we have all those community property laws kind of streaming around and floating out in space here, hitting us and working us over and helping us sometimes, hurting us other times. But a community property agreement is a document. It's a contract, essentially, between a husband and wife. And the contract typically would specify three things, although it can do other things too. But typically it's going to say, number one, everything we own is community property. Number two, anything we get in the future is community property. And keep in mind, you don't have to have all these prongs, as we call them. And then thirdly, the one that people are most used to, I think, is when the first spouse dies, everything goes automatically to the surviving spouse without having to go through probate, the dreaded probate. And that's another program topic. I was just thinking program topics today, obviously. But without having to go through probate, at least in terms of your Washington property, all of your accounts and your Washington real estate. So oftentimes a husband and wife will want to transfer everything easily on death and have it go to the surviving spouse. And so they'll use a community property agreement. But there are problems One of them is if you have a large enough estate to be taxable for estate tax purposes, and in Washington we're talking $2 million. Sounds like a lot of money, it is, but it's everything you own, including your life insurance, your retirement accounts, the tie that I'm not wearing, you know, the, all the different things that make up your estate. If you go over $2 million as a married couple, you're probably not going to want to use a typical form community property agreement, because one of the things we're trying to do in the estate is to use both of your estate tax exemptions. And a typical form community property agreement will kind of zap everything over to the surviving spouse. That's a legal term, zap, with two P's. And it means that we're not able to use that first exemption of the spouse that died. And so it could end up costing quite a bit of money to have one of those. Another situation where you might not want one is if the typical form is used and all the remember I said the second prong was all the property you acquire in the future is automatically community property. Well, let's say that Jackie, the wife, receives an inheritance from her mom, hopefully not also named Jackie, but I guess it's okay. So from her mom, Jackie, then if Jackie and Jackie, husband and wife, have signed a community property agreement in that typical form, then the moment that Jackie gets her inheritance, it's immediately considered and deemed to be community property. That could be bad. It could be there's a big problem going on. Maybe they're getting maybe their marriage is on the rocks. I hope that's not true, by the way, Jackie. But maybe it's different reasons why you might know. Maybe there's a lawsuit going on, and you don't want everything to be community property, or maybe you want to say what's going to happen to your property when you die, and maybe it isn't all going to go to your spouse. Sometimes people will leave things to their kids. Well, if you've got a community property agreement, the first spouse dying is giving everything by contract to the surviving spouse. They can't leave a little bit to a kid, let's say, or to a child or something. And so that could be bad. So there are lots of reasons why you might not use a community property agreement. If you're in the category of folks where it's really useful, then great. But you want to sit down and kind of have a discussion with your estate planning attorney and talk about the pros and cons and whether it really does make sense to have a community property agreement. And along with that, by the way, let's make sure that you're doing things like durable powers of attorney, because if one of the Jackies is having a problem, let's say unconscious in the hospital, and maybe there's a reason why we want to get rid of the community property agreement. Maybe we're going to end up in a Medicaid situation or some kind of a disastrous situation. We might want to get rid of that community property agreement. Well, the durable power of attorney, if it has the right language, can be used to have an effect and maybe even cancel out that community property agreement. So it's really important to, again, think about what you're doing, play what-if games. That's what an attorney can help you with, I think, a lot of times the most, is playing what-if games. You know, what if this happens? What if that happens? And, sometimes, like I say, community property agreements are great and work well, but just think it through, I guess, with an estate planning attorney before doing one.
And the way our economy is now, what about bankruptcies and that kind of
stuff? Oh, good point. Bankruptcies, enter into it, and if... Again, there's where if that inheritance comes in and it's automatically community where, maybe one of the spouses is in deep trouble in a business or something. You just want to be really careful and not do things accidentally. We want to really have thought them out and have good reasons to do the things that we do. So good point.
And what about Jackie Onassis for a Jackie?
Hey, there's another Jackie. There we are. I knew there was another famous Jackie up there. There we are.
Or was it one of Charlie's Angels is Jackie?
Jacqueline. I guess she probably was Jackie.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah, there we go. We got a couple. I knew we had a couple of them.
Yeah,
out there.
Of course. Okay. And our next question is that Kim wants to know if she and her husband each need a living trust, or can they have one together?
Oh, okay. Well, of course, now that assumes that they need, that they should have or need a living trust in general. But we can talk about that too, and maybe that'll be a good topic for yet another program. But if a couple, and she and her husband, so if the two of them are going to be doing a living trust, typically in Washington, we would do a joint revocable living trust between a husband and wife, and we would not be doing separate living trusts. Now, this varies from state to state. You know, if you drop down south to Oregon out of Washington, and you're going to be in a common law state. And so you might conceivably do two trusts, trust for husband, trust for wife. In Washington, unless we have a really good reason to be doing separate trusts, we're almost always going to do joint trusts. You know, it's got all the makings, that all the ingredients and so forth that go into the trust in general, but it's a lot easier with a husband and wife to be able to do a joint trust. Now, again, with a registered domestic partnership, I'd want to think about that. It may be that we would do, maybe we would do separate trusts. I have to think about that a little bit. It's a really interesting developing area of the law, and we'll be touching on that. In fact, we probably will want to think about doing some fun workshops. And, you know, when we do a workshop next time, what we ought to do is record the workshop and videotape it. And I guess it's not videotape anymore, is it? But we'll do a video of it, and maybe we can get that posted at the website, too, for some of the topics that we do in workshops. That might be fun. Kind of makes me think of that. So decide what's the best in terms of a living trust versus a will. A lot of times people use living trusts for privacy reasons. They like things to be kind of hassle-free when the first spouse or first person decides to depart, or if it's a single person, when the single person departs and dies. I guess I should say dies instead of departs. It was it's a good idea to think about whether it's a good idea or whether it's not a good idea to be doing the living trust. And I think a lot of times people do like them. I hesitate a little bit just because we want to be careful, and I don't want to portray probate as a nightmare. I think a lot of people stumble over the probate issue. It's a hassle, and most people don't want to go through it, but we want to make sure we're avoiding it for the right reasons. Let me put it that way. And we'll do a topic. We'll do another program topic. This is idea day for programs, I think, is what it is. So we'll work on that and see if we can't get a program going on that topic as well. We have so many topics. We can last, about 67.3 years with the topics that we have on the slate right now. So we'll be going for a long, long time. All right. We're having way too much fun, clearly. We always try to have fun on the program, and that's with your help, of course. So we'll continue with Bob Pittman's Legal Line.
One of the best legal bargains has to be the bar-sponsored lawyer referral services. For about $35, maybe $45 or so, you can have a half-hour consultation with an attorney who works in your area of concern. So, for example, if you have a real estate issue, you'll meet with a real estate attorney. If you have questions about a contract, you'll meet with an attorney who speaks the right version of legalese. Keep in mind that you have a half hour to discuss your legal problem. This is not a lot of time, but usually enough to determine if you need or want to engage a lawyer further. But you must use your time efficiently. Before you meet with the lawyer, write out a brief statement of the facts and write down your questions for the lawyer. If the questions are written down, you'll probably remember to ask them. When you meet with the lawyer, don't spend time talking about other things. Don't talk about the game last night or the weather. You have a limited amount of time, and you need to talk about your legal problem. In King County, you can call 206-267-7010. In Pierce County, you can call 253-383-3432. If you go to the website for the Washington State Bar Association, you'll find more information in the For the Public section. Look under How to Find Legal Help, and then under Lawyer Referral Services. And of course, you can always go to bobpittman.com. Thank you.
Well, I'd like to say thanks to everybody for stopping by today. We're here with you each and every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific time, taking your legal questions. Give us a call if you have a question. Send us an email with your question in advance. Jeff@BobPittman.com is the place to send them. Jeff@BobPittman.com. And, of course, let us know of ideas, show topics, guest ideas. We have guests from time to time, guest experts, and just interesting folks stop by from time to time here on Legal Line. Check out the archives again at BobPittman.com, and stay in control of your legal affairs at least until next week.